now joined by Danny West of HogSports.com. Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Trey. Matt.
I need to say this real quick. We're here at Guadney Chevrolet.
Hi.
And the guys here did something pretty neat for Matt during the last break. Matt has been driving a Chevrolet Silverado, souped up Silverado, I might add.
Really cool.
And it's time for him to get a new vehicle. So they have their wheel of luck here at Guadney Chevrolet, and they just so happen to have so many different models of cars as they do for spaces on the wheels of luck or the wheel of luck. So with each model of car, each space on the wheel of luck corresponded to one of those
models. Spark, Cruze, Camaro, Silverado, Tahoe,
Matt
Suburban, you name it, Impala, Equinox. So Matt spins the wheel of luck. Lo and behold, it lands on a Chevy Camaro.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, riding in style with the windows down in the summertime. Ooh,
and I can attest to what you were talking about with Sean earlier. Matt drives perfectly safe. He drives the speed limit, so your cars are always in good shape with him driving.
That's the thing. I will still enjoy it, but I'm just not the type of guy that peels out up there and goes 85.
So you're not going to burn rubber out of the Guadney parking lot here in a little bit.
I 10 years ago, yeah, but not anymore. I just don't. And you know the old saying that this is something my parents taught me when I was younger, that when it's not yours, you take better care of it. You know, when you show respect and you take better care of stuff when it's not yours.
Right.
But y'all know what that sounds like to me?
What's that?
Sounds like a little extra SEC benefit. And maybe you should get a couple of recruits down there.
I'm ineligible, Danny.
Recruits to spin that wheel for them one time.
I think that they knew that Matt in the future would be in Central Arkansas, and they promised him, "Oh, we'll get you a deal."
Oh yeah,
It was all planned out. This is how they do it down at Alabama and Auburn. I guarantee
it. You're the recruiting guru. You talk to these recruits all the time. Come on, you can give us the insight.
Yeah. How much time we got left?
Danny, the game tomorrow, red white scrimmage, a big day on the hill. Talk about some of the prospects that will be in attendance.
Well, there's a whole bunch of them. I think they're expecting 3 or 4 dozen up here, and that's really not even including some of your lesser-known kids from, you know, the class of 2016 and beyond, kids that they just kind of bring up for a day and have fun. These are actually notable targets that they're trying to get, most of them anyway. So there's a whole bunch. You get a lot of Arkansas commits. Ty Story, quarterback out of Charleston, Zach Rogers, 4-star, number one center in the country. He'll be back up here for about the 20th time, it seems like, in the last 6 months. Austin Cantrell, who just picked up an offer from Oklahoma the other day. He's an Oklahoma kid, and he told them, no, thank you, and we'll stick with Arkansas. So that sounds good right now. We'll see if that's the case come February, but he'll be up here. And then you got a whole bunch of kids that haven't committed to them yet. Chris Warren, one of the top running backs in the country out of Rockwall, Texas. I'm just going to skip over Jerry Tilbury. He's committed to Notre Dame. I don't see much happening with him. Will Gregg will be there. Obviously, Will has made plenty of headlines lately. I think he's at 36 offers now. And according to Trey Biddy, that's a new state record for an in-state kid in terms of total offers. So he'll be there. Deion Stewart is a guy that I think people should kind of keep an eye on this weekend. He may pull the trigger. He's a really speedy wide receiver out of Highland, Arkansas, who has an offer. Well, Michael Petway, we've talked about him quite a bit, wide receiver out of Nashville. The list goes on and on, literally. C.J. O'Grady from Fayetteville. Kendrick Jackson is a linebacker that they offered last week out of northern Louisiana. Feel pretty good about him. Not sure if he's going to pull the trigger or not, but definitely a lot of kids coming in. The weather's supposed to be good. Should be a good atmosphere, so hopefully, you know, they can get some momentum going out of this weekend.
And Danny, we had a caller earlier that wanted to know about kind of the defensive coordinator's philosophy kind of stuff like, does he like zone coverage? Does he like man coverage? I mean, what would be his base that he would like? And then also, kind of a two-part, but then also, does he like to blitz in the red zone? You know, if it's, I know a lot of defensive coordinators that once the team gets going and if they get past the 50 or 40 yard line, have 35, 40 yards left to the end zone, they like to blitz. And then a lot of defensive coordinators, anytime it's third and long, they want to blitz so the quarterback throws hot and then you make the tackle. You know, so in, if it's third and 12, don't get back in a prevent where they get to run their full depth of their routes, but blitz them. Make them throw hot, come up and make the tackle for a 7-yard gain. That way they got a punt.
Yeah, no, he's they're still going to be a zone blitz team. That's kind of his philosophy. The one thing I have seen more of this spring, it's actually pretty surprising to me, is just how much they have blitzed. And I think they've done a pretty good job of implementing a lot of his schemes and new twists to the defense. So they have been blitzing a lot, even down in the red zone situations. That really sticks out to me as really one of the true headlines coming out of the spring. So, yeah, I think he's more of an attacking guy. The one thing that I really like seeing is cornerbacks jammed up in wide receivers' faces and not giving them that 7-8 yard gap that you saw so much last year. Because let's face it, in this day and age, you're playing all these spread teams and they're going to spread you out, and it's very simple for them to turn and throw to the sideline and just let that guy get, you know, 5 yards. And if it's third and five, well, you just ran a really bad defense, and we saw that a lot last year. So it's good to see them kind of, you know, coming after the offense a little harder.
Danny, KJ Hill took a trip to Arkansas this week. How did that go?
Everything went great. He got a chance to, first of all, attend practice, and I think that was what this visit was most focused on this time around. He's seen all the facilities. He's talked to all the academic advisors that he could ever want to talk to. This was about getting him up here and showing him some of the offense and not only how he would fit in it, but to be honest with you, how bad they need him to fit in it, if you know what I mean. So everything went great. They rolled out the red carpet for him. I think they did a nice little presentation that just kind of focused on him, and he enjoyed that, and his family did too. So everything's still good there. He's not going to be able to make the trip tomorrow, so he wanted to make sure he got up here for a visit, and so he did that on Tuesday.
And Danny, one of the first things Coach Bielema said when he got here was putting up a fence around the state. And the last 2 years, we've lost, some would say, the best players in the state. So that being said, when is completion of this fence? What does he have to do to get that fence up around the state where we're not losing, one, two of the top players in the state year in, year out?
I think it comes down to winning. And first and foremost, kids want to win. Uniforms and facilities, they're all nice, and you can sell them all day. But if you're not winning and kids don't believe you're headed in a direction that they're going to be able to win in, you just don't have much chance. And I think it comes down that's what it comes down to every year. And more specifically this year, you got guys like Will Gregg and K.J. Hill. K.J. obviously a wide receiver. Will Gregg's a tight end. Those guys like to have the ball in their hands, and Arkansas, based on last year, you know, really didn't do a good job of getting the ball in playmakers' hands due to the quarterback, and even some of the offensive scheme was to blame for that. But I think they're taking steps to improve that and try to show those guys that they will open it up a little more and that they have a need for them in this offense. So those are the two things that stick out to me.
I was going to ask you, too, about the quarterbacks again. What do you want to see tomorrow about Brandon Allen, Austin Allen, and Rafe Peavy?
I tell you, I think it'd be nice. Brandon Allen has taken so much of the first-team reps. He's taken all of them, honestly. But to me, I think he's left a little bit to be desired. I think he could, you know, go ahead and take that job and just run away with it. And to this point, I haven't seen him do that. He'll throw one or two interceptions a game or practice that make you think, okay, it's obvious that he's gotten better and that he's healthy. But those are the type of decisions that will ultimately keep Arkansas out of a bowl game this year if he don't pick it up and clean it up. So it'd be nice to go out there and see him go out and have a big day and no turnovers. That would really be nice to see. And then the guys behind him, Austin Allen, over the last couple of weeks, I feel like he's been a little bit down, a little bit inconsistent at times. Rafe Peavy's coming on, picking it up. So you'd like to see all of those guys have a good day, a clean day. But really, for me, it's Brandon Allen. I think he needs to, if this job is truly his job, he needs to leave no doubt about it.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037, the number to call to be a part of Overtime and ask Danny West a question, or if you have a comment for him. Willing Conway on our Keithley Service Company Live Fan Feedback wants to know, Danny, have you heard any JoJo Robinson updates?
Very little today. The situation that I know it to be right now is that it looks like his charges will be dropped, but they haven't been dropped yet. There's a lot of technicalities and a lot of paperwork and a lot of communication that people in Miami, Florida have to do before we can get a straight answer. But if you want my gut, honest opinion on it, based on everything I've heard, he does have this hearing on May 22nd. What I've heard from both sides now is that it looks promising that those charges will ultimately be dropped, but he still has to go to that hearing on May 22nd. So keep your fingers crossed, because that would really, really be a big loss for the program. And you know, more importantly, for JoJo to be caught up in that kind of situation. If there's anything I can tell any kid that might be listening right now, in the grown-up world, you are who your friends are, so you better pick good ones, because you can get caught up like that really easily.
Can you kind of take us, I guess, what details you know about that situation, what I had heard or whatever, and not a lot's come out, but I didn't know if you had heard something else, that he had finished practice and one of his buddies who was taking him, not practice, but a workout, one of his buddies was taking him home and that he didn't know about it. Just to see if you've heard something else or if there was anything more to that.
Yeah, that's the only side of the story I've heard, is that he was headed home. A group of his friends stopped beside him and asked him if he wanted a ride. And, of course, he got in the car with them, not knowing what they had already done.
They'd already done it. Okay.
Yeah, now that's the story I've gotten through his father and other people that would probably, I don't want to say cover for him, but maybe they don't know all the details. So it's kind of it's one of those situations where you're not really sure who to believe, and you just kind of have to let the details come out from the court side of it. But that's the story I've been told several times now.
See, that was new, because I didn't know that those kids or whatever had already done that. So that has to be on JoJo's side. I would think that it had already happened. Yeah,
right. I didn't realize that it was that way either.
Well, the hope is that that's actually the story.
Because
if that's the case, then he should have no problem, you know, getting alibis and finding out where he was at specific times. But, you know, there's always that doubt. You're getting this side of the story from a family member, so we'll have to wait and see what the actual report says.
Danny, those that are going to Fayetteville tomorrow for the spring game, what can they expect to see?
I think it'll be a big crowd. What they have last year, was last year when they had 51,000?
I think that was an announced.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. Of course, they're going to announce it a whole lot higher than it actually is. And last year, if I recall, it was about 20,000 higher. But I do think they'll have a good crowd tomorrow. There's a lot going on in Fayetteville. So as far as the spring game itself, it looks like it's going to be the first team against the world. Brett hasn't released the rosters yet, I don't believe, but so you get a chance to see the first team, you know, go against all the other second and third teamers.
And then some other things that are going on, I saw today, where at the Hog Heaven store inside Donald W. Reynolds Razorback Stadium, they will have the new football jerseys on display.
Yeah, I saw that. That'll be, if the kids can go by there, the recruits go by and check those out, but I'm sure Arkansas is going to do a good job of making those uniforms very visible as soon as the kids get on campus tomorrow. But, Trey, what do you think about the uniform? We haven't talked about that yet.
Well, I like the scripting. I'm not a fan of the front-on look of the hog right there in the V of the neck.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of that.
I like that they took that gray off of the shoulder pads.
I am a fan
of that.
Zigzag.
And, Danny, what I like is that classic look. And these are – and what I would say, too, is not so busy. And these don't look like they are that busy.
No, they're a lot sharper. And I'm with you, Matt. I think back to your freshman year. What was that, 2001? Those Nike uniforms had the black trim around the numbers that you really didn't notice, but it just looked clean and sharp. I miss those kind of uniforms, but I'm a little bit old-fashioned, too. I understand what the kids like, but, I like this uniform just fine. I feel like the kids like it, and to be honest with you, that's what's most important. Us old men can sit around here and gripe about it all day, but it comes down to what does a 17-year-old kid like, and so far it's been really positive feedback.
And that being said, I'm with you. It doesn't matter what we think, but if the uniforms, Danny, got you an extra 4 or 5-star recruiter, if it did now, I haven't heard, and you talk to these kids a lot more, but when I was there, nobody said, I came to Arkansas because of the uniforms. But if some reason you were able to get a big-time recruit because of that, then, yeah, we can't say a single thing about it because they're the kids. They're the ones that wear it.
Yeah. No, it, for me, as I said earlier, it comes down to winning. I think they could wear pink or purple every Saturday, and if they went undefeated, you'd have 5-star kids knocking down the door next year. So it comes down to winning, but uniforms are just a little added bonus.
Pink, if we're winning. If we didn't lose a game like Bubba Watson winning the Masters, you don't hear anything about it with his pink driver winning the Masters, huh?
You're right. He gets it done with his pink driver. Danny, I guess can you give us a position-by-position analysis of what you've seen through spring? Now, next week, that could change because you would have seen the spring game when you join us next Thursday. But as of right now, what you have seen in the practices and the scrimmages that you have been able to see, and let's start with the offensive side first.
Okay, I'll start with quarterback. I mentioned what I thought about it, but I feel like Brandon Allen has left a little bit out there that you'd like to see him clean up. I like what Rafe Peavy's done. I think he's got a real good chance this August, after he's had a summer to let all this knowledge kind of digest, to come out there and be the number two quarterback and possibly even make a run for it. I don't feel like they're going to want to start a true freshman on the road at Auburn, so I would still anticipate Brandon Allen being the number one guy. But I'm telling you, if Rafe Peavy's coming on, and he's coming on fast. So that's a good sign. At running back, Corliss Marshall, to me, guys, I don't know how many yards he's going to run for, but he's going to help that team a lot this year. He's done some things in practice that, you know, I think we all have pictured Corliss as a guy that all he can do is run that little toss sweep and then outrun everybody. Well, he's shown a lot more than that in the running game this spring. He's made some cuts at the line of scrimmage. He's ran through some guys. I think he's really, really going to help them there. Just don't know how much they're going to need him to help because you got two such great running backs ahead of it. But the fullback position's really been interesting to me. Cody Walker appears to be taking off with that. And at the beginning of spring, I would have told you Chris Jones is my favorite to win it, but Cody Walker is, in my opinion, really taking a hold of that job. Offensive line, a couple things that worry you. You would hope somebody would have stepped up and taken that center spot and the left guard spot, and they're still trying to shuffle guys in there and find the best fit. And at some point, you're going to have to just go with your gut and try to build some chemistry. But that's kind of worrisome. How much time we got, Trey?
I wanted to stop you on that offensive line and make a comment that
we've got about a minute and a half.
That offensive line, Danny, that's a good point right there. That you bring up chemistry. The one unit on a team, I mean, your quarterback receiver had to have chemistry. I get all that. But the unit that has to have the best chemistry, if you want to be successful, is that offensive line. And that's that, I want to say, makes me sad that we don't have that yet. You know, that's not good that we don't have those five guys who we know are going to be our offensive line. I don't know if we got people coming in or whatever, But that being said, if that that offensive line unit has to have chemistry, and we need to get that squared away.
I agree with you. They are going to look at some guys up front. Sebastian Tritola, junior college guy coming in. He's going to start out at center. Frank Ragnow will also get a shot there. So they got some guys coming in. We'll talk defense next week.
Sounds good, Danny. We appreciate it as always.
Have a good one, guys.